If someone were to ask you, what do you believe? What do you know? Without question, would you be able to answer them? If someone were to say to you, who is your God? And you say, well, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. And they were to say to you, what does that mean? Do you indeed know who Jesus is? You say, well, of course, Jesus is the Son of God. And then as you tell them more and more about your faith, and you say, well, you know, Jesus is God. And then they say, well, you just said Jesus is the Son of God. So which is it? And then you answer and say, well, yes, he is God. He is the Son of God. So then you must explain the Trinity. And because that's such an elementary thought process and everybody can easily understand what the Trinity is, that's no problem. Except that it's not elementary. And somewhat difficult for Christians to understand, as well as for those outside the faith to understand. And so then we begin to wrestle with it. If I were to come to you and say, we're having potluck today, and everyone brings a meal. Now, to eat, you only have to do one thing. Explain the Trinity. There would be a lot of leftovers at our potluck, and that's not normal at a Baptist potluck, as we all know. So it's, what do we believe, and do we know what we believe? And it's vitally important that we do, and here's why. Knowing what we believe gives us the ability to share that with others. If I were to ask you, how do I get to Carew Tower? How many of you, without a map, without a navigation system, with no outside sources, if I were to get in your car and say, take me to Carew Tower, how many of you could do that? That's quite a number of you. If I were to say, take me to Lunken Airport. Got a few that can get me to Lunken Airport? Nobody over here really is raising their hands. There's a few, but okay. How about Pyology? Anyone know Pyology? Oh, a few of you. That's good pizza. If you know how to get there, if someone gets in your car and says, take me there, I can get you there. I had a guy get in my car the other day and say, take me to the Renaissance. Do you know that there are two buildings downtown named the Renaissance? And that they're a half a mile apart? And that he should have been more specific? I took him to the wrong Renaissance. He said, well, this isn't my hotel. I said, well, you didn't say, take me to the Renaissance Hotel. You said, take me to the Renaissance. He said, it's 11 o'clock. Okay. Knowing what we believe gives us the opportunity to share with someone without needing to pull out my great big Bible. I don't need to pull this out. I have smaller ones. I can use that as well. But I can share the gospel of Jesus Christ without pulling out my Bible. Based on what I know of theology, which is the study of God, and the verses I have memorized, the verses I have stored up here. I know my way. And I know my way well enough to show someone else the way. It's important. That's one reason. The other reason is this. I love to swim. I don't do it often. I'm old. But when I was young, I swam all the time. If I happened to be in a boat and that boat sank, I was okay. I could swim, and I could swim well. Sometimes in life, things happen, and it feels as though we're sinking. It's great when bad things happen to have on hand the knowledge of what to do. For instance, if you break down alongside the road, I had someone call me and say, give me the number to AAA. How many still use AAA? Okay. We used to use AAA for many years. Now, USAA, our insurance company, does everything AAA does except triptychs. But that's okay because I have Waze, a map program in my phone. I don't really need AAA. So they're like, give me AAA's phone number. I'm like, but no, don't argue with me. Give me AAA's phone number. Not a problem. Call back. Well, we're not members of AAA. No, I know that. You didn't ask that. You demanded the phone number. But to know who to call when things are tough is important. To know where to go when things are rough is important. To know what the Bible says. Even when you suffer from things like depression and anxiety, when you're going through a difficult time of loss or whatever it may be, where you're feeling that pull down, it doesn't mean that tomorrow everything's going to be cheery and that you're going to be happy and that everything is roses, but it is more that it's something to anchor to. I may fall, but I will only fall so far because I know where the floor is. The foundation of my life is the word of the Lord. I can only fall so far. People say, well, you know, they have to hit rock bottom. Thankfully, rock bottom is below this. I will only fall so far before I fall into the words of my Savior. It's important to know the Word of God, to know what you believe and why you believe it, because it helps share it with others and it protects us in times of difficulty. Who is God? We talked last week that, of course, it comes, we're studying the Creed, the Apostles' Creed. Creed comes from the Latin word credo. By the way, things are going to be a little kind of topsy-turvy. We're doing a new presentation software. Oh, I see how you are. I have to try something now. We're trying a new presentation software, and it's been a little crazy because we have a couple different versions of that presentation software, mainly because, well, I messed up. I know your pastor. You're safe. Creed means I believe. It comes from the Latin word credo. The Apostles' Creed is a summary of what they taught, of what they believed, of what they held fast to. The apostles did not write, indeed, the Apostles' Creed. So this morning, if you would join with me in saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. By the way, I had someone get a hold of me last week and said, Pastor, does God no longer forgive sins? And I said, well, of course he does. He goes, well, you left it out of the creed. How many of you caught that last week? Yeah. I did that on purpose just to see if you were awake, you know. So. Of course, I did not. Who is God? We talked last week, so we're going to breeze through this. He is creator. The creator and the sustainer of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1, in the beginning, God created. He is all powerful, omnipotent. He is all powerful. The creator has complete control over absolutely everything. O sovereign Lord, it says in Jeremiah 32, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. He is everywhere, omnipresent. That can be unsettling at times. If you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, or you're somewhere where you shouldn't be, I hope that God doesn't know. Not only does he know, he's standing right there. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He is part of it. And by the way, he knew before the foundations of the earth. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths of Sheol, the place of the dead, you are there. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. There is no question that you can ask of God that he does not know the answer to. He determines the course of world events in Daniel 2:21. He removes kings and set others on the throne. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He is sovereign. Because God is sovereign, he is in control of everything. Who can challenge God? So it's funny to me when I hear pastors and they're talking about God and they're sharing attributes of God that are not true. Or they're saying things about God that the Bible doesn't say. You can't make God up. He is I am. He is who he says he is. He is the sovereign. He is wise and holy and just. So when I hear a pastor say, God is love, is that true? God is love? Yes. Is God also a God of wrath? Yes. But I have heard pastors say that is not true. Or pastors who say, well, you know, here we have the New Testament and here we have the Old Testament. We'll just rip it right here. The problem is you cannot do that. Our God is who our God is. it makes him sovereign. Relationship with God as with sovereign requires this worship, this understanding of who he is, this love for him, even though we fully don't understand him. 1 Timothy 1:17, to the King of the ages, the immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You cannot take from God one single attribute and still have God. He is who he is. He is holy. He is just. He is righteous. So in 1 Peter 1:14-16, it says it like this. So obey God because you are his children. I'm using a little different version than I normally do. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then, but you do now. So because God is holy, he requires of us a level of holiness. And that should be growing. We should know as believers that today I'm here, tomorrow I'm going to be here. Some days I may fall back some. God says, I get that. I understand. The neat thing about having an omniscient, all-present, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign God is there is nothing that goes through your mind that he does not know. Say, hey, God, this is hard. He knows. When you say, God, I think I'm going to die, God says, I understand. There is no hurt that you have felt that he does not feel. There is no pain that you have gone through that he has not gone through. He not only created us, but he loves us. The more we know about God, the more we realize he's not just up there creating things and spinning them and letting them go. For instance, you just heard Ashley give her testimony. Very few of you knew that testimony. She's gone through more in her short life up to now than most people go through in their whole lives. It has helped form her and create who she is. A woman of substance, a woman who knows the Lord. She's very humble. She's very quiet. And yet when she speaks and commands authority. It is important to say from the staff's perspective, her coming in has changed fundamentally the personality of the staff. Have you ever walked and got a rock in your shoe? It changes everything about the way you walk. It changes how you enjoy things. Until you get that rock out of your shoe, you will suffer. Ashley was a great relief when she came. It brought peace. It brought a sweetness. It brought a greatness there. It has, as God has molded the staff, and it's not that a staff person isn't right, but not right in a time. God says everything has a purpose. Everything has a time. Everything has a season. So God brings people in. He takes people out. Not because someone's good or bad, but because he's constantly molding and changing because he is accomplishing his will. It is my belief and the belief of the staff that she is where she is in God's time, in God's season, to accomplish God's will for a season. Whatever that season is, it might be a day, it might be a year. She's been here 9 months, it might be 9 years. We don't know. How long will I be here? How long will you be here? We don't know, but we know that God is blank. He is sovereign. He is all-knowing. He is all. He is the I Am. So it's a great thing. Thank you, Ashley, for sharing that. God is just. When we say that God is just, if you look in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it's important because when we say God is just, it really fills in two things. One is it reassures us that when we mess up, God isn't going to say, well, they messed up, I'm going to just take them out, tired of dealing with them. Well, that's not justice. God is just in that he handles us according to who he is. So 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. God understands who we are. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciousness. In other words, God is just. It means that he will deal with us justly, which is a great thing. He is also righteous. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians 4:22. Galatians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians 4:22. If you would turn there. And I'm going to read Ephesians 4:22 through 24. That, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We're being made into this righteousness of God. We are being stripped away of our deceit and our dirtiness. The things of the world begin to fall away, and the things of God begin to adhere themselves to who we are. In Revelation 4:8, and I put it here, the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes, all around and within, day and night. They never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So picture with me, if you will, you're standing in the throne room of God. And you have these creatures, these cherubim, whatever they are. We say, oh, well, they're angels. Well, that's not what it says. But okay. Four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, these fantastic creatures. And day and night, they stand in the throne room of God and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And it says they never cease. I fall short, and you do too, and we always will. But this is a picture we need in our brain when we walk into the sanctuary to worship. Because the God that we worship is all of these things and is so fantastic. There are creatures that stand in his throne room and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." And they never stop because of his greatness and how magnificent he is. And so often we forget why we're here. So often we misplace our purpose. There's a reason we call this the worship service, because we're here to worship the Holy One. So many times, we just need to say, "Lord, what has happened up until now today, just lay it down. The things that are important in my mind, are they important in yours?" A prayer that we should pray is, "Lord, make important to me what's important to you." There's a song out that says it well, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." God is loving, merciful, and faithful. Romans 8:35. Welcome to turn there. I'm not going to turn to every scripture. Trust me, we'd be here a long time. And you say, "Well, Pastor, you would have had more time if you didn't have Ashley, you know." Aren't you glad she gave her testimony? That's just awesome. A woman of strength that you would never guess. It's so funny because she stands up and, "Hi, my name is Ashley." And in her mannerisms, she is the sweetest person in the world. But after hearing what she has gone through, you know she can put up a fight. She's a strong woman. Romans 8:35, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" God is loving. He is merciful. He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks of his faithfulness. And finally, God is immutable. It's one of my favorite words, immutable. Malachi 3:6. Talks of the immutability of God. It says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Because I am who I said I am, and because that never changes, none of these things about God will ever change." Have you ever walked up to someone and they've just been as sweet as ever, and you talk to them and you kind of joke around or whatever, and you see them after lunch, and whatever happened, that's not who you were talking to an hour ago. Something has changed. Or have you ever heard the story about the person, maybe the pastor who became the bank robber? Or there was a story of a pastor, I think it was in Oklahoma. He was a Baptist pastor. Babe, don't get worried about this. It's okay. Of course, we know pastors can't be. The one thing pastors can't be is what? Divorced, right? When they hired me here, they didn't say, "Pastor, have you ever murdered anyone?" They said, "Pastor, have you ever been divorced?" And this pastor took that to heart. He wanted to be a pastor. And he knew, I can kill someone. They never asked that question. but I can't be divorced. So he killed his wife. But you know, or you watch TV. Well, I don't know why they would say he did that. He's always been the best neighbor. They've just been so quiet. You know, meanwhile, they burned down half the city. Yeah, but they've always been the best neighbors. Sometimes people aren't who you think they are, and you hear it over and over. Well, they've changed. Take heart in this. Our God never changes. The God who created you, loves you, gifted you, and holds you in his righteous right hand will do so for all eternity, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the same yesterday, today, and forever, regardless of what you do, say, or become. That's who our God is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are all of these things and so very many more. And we thank you that that will be true for all eternity. Lord, it is a blessing that we are in a position where we can love you and worship you, honor you, and call on your holy name, because you are worthy. As the creatures say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.